Commission and what went on during that time.
That's right, and how we were able to keep food on the table in many of the homes where not too much money was coming in. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, my mother had been taught in the home that she grew up in North Carolina, mm-hmm. to make bread instead of buying bread, mm-hmm. In spite of the fact that bread at that time was like 4 cents a loaf. Mm-hmm. She taught us. I learned how to make yeast bread by standing on a box to bring me up tall enough to the kitchen table. And of course, she made things like stews. Mm-hmm. She'd get the stewing meat, mm-hmm. which was inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And we made out very well, mm-hmm. with that kind of food. Mm-hmm.
So do you know, was there any special type things that blacks did in the church to survive during this time?
Well, yes. You mean in the church?
Then doing for people in the church. How did they help the people survive?
In our church, in Messiah Church, they gave suppers, and I think they charged something like 25 cents if you had it. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't, then you were invited to come in and eat. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we had those fairly often. Mm-hmm. The name of the organization, that the Pastors Aid Society, mm-hmm. was the group, mm-hmm. that did quite a bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Did the church play a major role in recreation for blacks during that period too?
Yes, they did. Those of us who liked acting in plays found that we could really enjoy ourselves in church because we would have plays, mm-hmm. and then in the summertime we had picnics, mm-hmm. so that the young people didn't have too much time to get into crime. Mm-hmm. They were so busy preparing for one thing, and after something was over, we would be preparing for something else, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. so that it was worthwhile to be connected with the church, and the young people loved it. Mm-hmm. I think mainly because all of us went. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where the boys met the girls and the girls met the boys. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We courted in BYPU.
Yes,
The church at that time really was the center of attraction, mm-hmm. for both young and old blacks at that time. Mm-hmm. I can remember my mother and father buying a large ice cream freezer. I think it made 5 gallons of either ice cream or sherbet. And the organizations that they belonged to would meet, and this freezer went around to different places for those meetings. Mm-hmm. And that's how they had lovely refreshments, mm-hmm. because it was certainly more inexpensive to have your sherbet than of course someone would make a cake. Mm-hmm. And it was just wonderful.
It sounds like it was great fun.
It was.
Now, what about medical care? You had a baby, you said, say a year after you were married.
Yes.
What about your medical care during that time?
There wasn't any such thing. There wasn't any such thing. And when I had Bill, a year after I was married, it meant that my husband, even though his business grew fast, mm-hmm. we didn't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I had him in the ward at Bridgeport Hospital. Mm-hmm. And the ward at Bridgeport Hospital was $18 a week. Mm-hmm. And they kept you in 2 weeks at that time. Mm-hmm. Mothers couldn't get out of the hospital for the first baby, uh-huh. under 14 days, and the second baby, 13 days. So that it cost $36 for 2 weeks in the hospital, in the maternity ward.
Mm-hmm. Now, could you tell me, during that time, was the maternity ward segregated, or was it?
No.
It wasn't segregated.
No, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was pretty good. 2 whole weeks. Things have certainly changed now, haven't they?
It was worth going to the hospital because it gave you an opportunity to let your fingernails grow and get your fingers all, you know, and Vaseline that we would keep them oiled with, you know. I don't know that I'd be too happy to go to the hospital today and have to leave in about 3 days, is it?
Yeah, 3 days.
Isn't worth going.
Now, a lot of times they're sending some people home overnight after they
really?
Have their babies. They have started some of that, too. Yeah, so, but your baby was not born through a midwife. You did
no.
have a doctor.
I did have the doctor, Dr. Bradley,
uh-huh.
only once during the pregnancy. I don't know what it was now. One Sunday morning, I didn't feel too good. So all we had to do, at that time, he had moved then up on the street where Wheeler School was.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband went up and got him, and he took care of me, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was the only time you saw him during your whole 9 months
right.
of pregnancy.
That's right.
Did he deliver the baby?
No. No. An intern.
At the hospital.
At the hospital. If you had a baby doctor, as they were called then, that was another added
expense.
And we didn't have it. I didn't need it, which I'm thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was a little different when the second child was born, 6 years later.
Mm-hmm.
We had Bud. And by that time, I had a private room.
Mm-hmm. Everything was different.
Everything was different. We had the late Dr. James. Was the doctor, and I went in to see him, I guess once every month for a while, and then toward the end, once every week or what have you. And it only cost then $35 a week to be in the hospital.
With the private room.
With a private room.
How things have changed.
Haven't they?
Let's talk about World War II a little bit.
Oh, yes.
Did you? What went on then?
I remember quite a bit about World War II. Several men in my family, two brothers and a brother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
served.
Mm-hmm. You didn't lose anyone in the war?
No.
Well,
fortunately, we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I even have one of the letters that you would send to a man in the service
mm-hmm.
that I have kept.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the older brother, the one who lives now in Florida,
mm-hmm.
who had sent it, and I save it just to show people what that little letter was like.
Mm-hmm.
But he came back, he served in Italy, and the younger brother was in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember where the brother-in-law went, I should, because at that time he left Bridgeport to go to camp in Augusta, Georgia, and he and my sister Blanche were courting, and he wrote home to her and said he had gotten wind of the fact that they were going to be shipped out, you know,
mm-hmm.
they didn't always tell them.
No.
And they wanted to get married before he was shipped out.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had been ill, and my sister, this is the way she tells it now, she said, you know, I didn't even realize I didn't have to have my mother go with me down to Georgia. But my mother couldn't go. So Blanche asked Doc if I could go with her.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he said yes. He was rather romantically
mm-hmm.
inclined.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with her to Augusta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And she was married. And surely enough, in about a week after she came home, she stayed about a week. I came right back. I said, I've done my duty.
Yes.
I chaperoned her to Augusta.
Uh-huh.
And I came back, and he was shipped out.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he thanked the Lord. He returned and...
Well, that was good. Now,
yes.
Do you remember if the war affected any of your family with food, services, anything during World War II?
No, I don't think so. Because Blanche was the only one married. Mm-hmm. The rest of them were still at home. Mm-hmm. And of course, my father's business had grown to such a size that even having grown-up children, mm-hmm. he was able to take care of them. Mm-hmm. The house that I was born in, all of us were born on Fulton Street, the oldest sister in the house next door. But my mother and father bought the house that I was born in and all the rest of the children. It was a two-family house. Mm-hmm. But by the time of World War II, we took over the whole house, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. so that there was plenty of room for everybody. Mm-hmm. So we just had that one married sister, and of course she was at home while he was abroad
in the service.
Yes.
Now, do you remember how the neighborhoods began to change during the war?
It didn't change too much. Mm-hmm. At least Fulton Street didn't. Mm-hmm. It was long after the war, I think, was over, mm-hmm. when some of the Irish people moved away, mm-hmm. and more blacks came in. Mm-hmm. Because being downtown, it was a very good place. You were near to everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And many people did not have cars like they have now. Mm-hmm. Many families... they didn't have cars at all. Mm-hmm. They didn't even have telephones, many of them. Mm-hmm. But the neighborhood began to change. We had a barber. I can't remember right off what his last name was, Taylor. And of course we called him Barber Taylor.
Right.
I can't think what his Christian name was. But I can remember he moved in. Then there was another family that moved next door when a Portuguese family moved away. Mm-hmm. And then across the street from there, a Mr. Clifford Ellis and his wife moved into the four-family house. And the people, I think they were Irish or Italians in that mm-hmm. house. Mm-hmm. I think they were Italians. They moved away. Mm-hmm. And the street then became more black mm-hmm. than white. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that was after the war, mostly, when that happened. Mm-hmm.
But blacks did come to Bridgeport in droves during the war.
Yes, they
worked
did.
In the defense.
They worked in defense, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you get to know many blacks that came up from the South during this time?
Well, yes, because I was still at the Messiah Baptist Church at that mm-hmm. time. So that I did meet quite
Were you
a few.
At still on Fulton Street, or did you and your husband move out of Fulton Street?
We moved from Fulton Street when the older boy was 4 years old. He was going to be 4 years old mm-hmm. the next week when we bought a home in Stratford.
Uh-huh. So you moved out to Stratford.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lived in the same house 41 years in Stratford.
So, but you did not go back to work during that period
no.
at all, after your children
no.
were born.
No, after Bill was born, the first child, my husband said, well, now, your job is starting. Mm-hmm. A homemaker.
You have to stay home and take care of
That's
the children.
That's right. It's very different from the way it is today. And we women weren't looking to, what do they call it, finding yourself? Or, we found ourselves.
Being independent. And,
yes.
Oh, yes.
When we said, I do to the minister, you found yourself right then. And the husbands, if they could afford it, of course, there are always cases where the wife did have to go out and work.
Right.
But usually speaking, the wife stayed home and took care of the family.
Oh, that's the old way of doing
it.
Things.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
We're doing the 60s. Do you remember much about the social upheaval that went on during the 60s? Or did you
yes.
participate in it in any way? Or anything?
Well, we weren't too involved here in mm-hmm. Bridgeport, as mm-hmm. I recall. Mm-hmm. But that time, I had become very interested in the YWCA, not as an employed person. Mm-hmm. And it was at that time when the Phyllis Wheatley branch was closed on the advice of National Board.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked as a volunteer and worked myself up to being president of the Bridgeport YWCA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I was elected to the National Board,
mm-hmm.
and I was on that board for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the American Baptist Convention began to take my time, and the women's work in particular.
Mm-hmm.
First, the Home Mission Society. I was on that board for 5 years that took me across the country to meetings.
Right.
And then you get discovered. And the women then found me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still caught with the women.
Yeah, and you're still involved. So the movement in the 60s did affect you then.
It really did.
It really did affect you. You got involved in the women's rights movement, sort of.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Right. It did. The changes at the Y, what did you feel about those changes that went on with the changing of the Phyllis Wheatley, which was a segregated Y, then they came together? Did you have any particular feelings about that?
No, I didn't have any particular feelings about it. But as I look back on it now, I can see how it really changed the complexion of Bridgeport as far as, social activities,
mm-hmm.
because the Y then took the place of some of the things the church was doing,
right.
or the churches, because mm-hmm. with the Methodist Church and Episcopal mm-hmm. and so forth. Many of us at the time, we were glad to get rid of the segregated Y
mm-hmm.
and go over on Golden Hill Street, where the senior citizens
are now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But there were very many who were unhappy
mm-hmm.
and did not go.
Mm-hmm.
They loved it on Beach Street, and it was a good building,
mm-hmm.
but it was small. Mm-hmm. We were upstairs, and the International Institute was downstairs.
Uh-huh.
And you know what that organization is.
Right.
They are now on East Washington Avenue,
mm-hmm.
where they help get citizenship papers for foreigners when they come to the country.
Right.
And things like that.
Well, when they were up under the Phyllis Wheatley Y, what did they do at that time?
Well, that's what they did at that time, because we had many foreigners coming to this country.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, the foreigners wanted to become full-fledged, I would call it, mm-hmm. Americans.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to learn the language, what we were doing,
mm-hmm.
and that was what the International Institute was responsible for doing.
Oh, I see.
They had classes for them,
mm-hmm.
Americanization classes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We had one of our outstanding black women who was involved in that. She was a widow with two girls, and she was involved in that work about 40 years,
mm-hmm.
teaching English to the foreign people who had come to this country.
Oh.
It mm-hmm. was very different from the way it is now. We did not have two languages or three languages or whatever to accommodate the foreign languages of the people, so they had to learn English.
Right.
You see, today it's very different.
So that was sort of a government program that was subsidized by the government.
By the Board of Education.
Right. Now, were you involved in any way or knew anything about the poverty programs around or anything like that?
During that time?
Yeah, during the 60s.
I don't know too much. I don't remember too much. I know we had them,
mm-hmm.
Because the building where you would go to register your need was there at the corner of Madison Avenue, Washington Avenue, and Main Street, which was called Bull's Head.
Right.
And that was the building where they went and they could receive aid for rent or... If they still had, and many of them did, coal st- stoves
mm-hmm.
or furnaces. They could register and get coal delivered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And many times my father was hired to help the city in delivering coal to people who were in need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was quite a program done out of that building. The welfare building,
right.
I think we called it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, the Vietnam conflict, you were just telling me about the International Institute and how they moved now over on Washington Street.
East Washington Avenue.
On East Washington Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Vietnam conflict, did you or your family or any of your friends, were any of them involved in the Vietnam War of any kind?
No, none of the family was. There may have been some friends, but by that time, I had changed my membership from the Messiah Baptist Church over to the First Baptist Church where I am now,
mm-hmm.
and had gotten involved in doing church work all over the country from Maine to California,
mm-hmm.
so that I didn't know the people personally,
right.
But I know from what I read in the paper or things that I would hear at a meeting,
mm-hmm.
about their involvement,
mm-hmm.
which was extensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to close now, but I'm going to ask you if there's anything that I did not ask you that you would like to add or that you think is important that you would like to say at this time. Thank you so much, Ms. Gardner, for allowing us to interview you. We will, as the Afro-educators, use this tape very wisely. And thank you for allowing us to put it in.